He's the only one that's good. Amen. How are we all doing? I have a short message. It's only going to take about an hour. No, I have a short message. Gomez, would you lead us, please?
Lord, I have your word, and I know it's true.
Lord, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have. I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Today we're starting May 1st. And I've been pondering the last several weeks, especially the word that came through Pastor Mike last week. There are a lot of questions that I ask myself because I want the word to judge me. I want the word to challenge me. I don't come here just to listen, to hear what the vessel of God is going to spout to me. I want to be challenged, and I want to get clean as much as possible so I can grow. And I hope that's your endeavor too. We say this little prayer before we open up, but how many of us really, really, really believe it? Okay. I've not been one for the last several years to mandate things to the church to do things. I really believe God works best when he works on our heart, and our hearts are open to what he wants to do, and it's no different. But he's reminded me that we are in the days of small beginnings, and I am accepting God's success for us. Okay? And that means that each and every one of us have things that we're going through that God wants to break through to us to make us effective in his hands. Evangelism is only one area of service, and it is a privilege. I can remember the years that and Pastor Mike and I have talked about this, about lifestyle evangelism and going out there, and what we try to do is sow seed and then reap the seed and then bring it into the house. Well, that was filled with good intentions, but it really wasn't with any kind of wisdom, because since that time I've learned about seasons, I've learned about the duration of times and stuff like that. So it was a great opportunity for us to seed. And we on Friday night are praying about those things, and we continue to pray about those things. But God is really doing something in challenging us. And last week, Pastor Mike gave an analogy of a pumpkin. How many remember that analogy? I especially liked it. I thought it was great. And I'm going to steal it from Pastor Mike, and I'm going to use it sometime in the future. That's what we do in the kingdom. We borrow from each other. And I freely allow you guys to do it. And I know Pastor Mike's heart is to freely give to us. But there was four questions that arose last week. And that was, in implementing the word of truth into my life, how does God protect that work so he can see it go through? Have you guys ever asked that question? Should start. Second question was, can I rely on God to watch over me as the work goes forward? God is doing something in each and every one of us. The manifestation of those circumstances, as Pastor Mike said, is what we confess. That's the manifestation. And what I had confessed several years ago, I had to go through the reality. But I'm here to tell you that God doesn't leave us or forsake us. Amen? And that's good news. Because we sometimes think that we're the only ones who are going through this. We're the only ones like Josiah who got a plane trip with grandmom this week, you know. No, there's a lot of us are going through this stuff. Third question, will he keep me secure and safe in all situations as I step out in faith to fulfill my destiny? Some of you guys haven't even asked God what your destiny is. I'm asking him and he's telling me. And now I have to believe that he's going to bring me through. This is one of his problems or promises that he has said. And it is a problem because we don't truly believe what God says is true. And the last question I ask myself, does he truly have my back as I make decisions and go through the consequences of those decisions? And I'm here to say categorically, he has our back. As we move forward together, God has our back. And you used to hear me say, there's nothing stopping us but us. And it's usually not something big or horrid or anything. It's usually a small thing. And I was sharing with the group Wednesday night that God is dealing with me. It's a petty thing, but it's a big thing to God that he's dealing with me in my life. What is he dealing with you? Are you even paying attention that he wants to do something in your life, but that thing that he wants to remove out of your life will set you free in order to accomplish or go on the way to accomplish the destiny that God has put to you? John 14:1 says, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. In other words, stop worrying about the circumstances that you find yourself in. Stop it. And all of us were at Banner Brothers and we saw that video. Stop it. He says, trust in God. Trust also in me. Do we truly trust Jesus? Is the question. And like I said, I bring this to myself to understand what God is doing in my life and really what he wants to do. And I go back to the time, I guess it was 15 years ago, company I was working for, we were out on strike. I had depleted in 10.5 weeks my savings. I had done everything right. I had done, you know, was a good steward of everything that God had given to me. But in 10.5 weeks, that was all gone. And some of you know the story. I had said to Irene, I said, you know, I'm probably going to have to go out and get a job. And she says, go ask God. I mean, thank God I got a partner that says to me, go ask God and see what he says about that. And guys, listen to your spouse. And I listened to her and I went to the Lord and I said, what do you want me to do here? And I'm expecting this great revelation of things that he wants to do. And he just asked me, actually it was a statement. He said, you don't trust me. You don't trust me. I stood face to face with truth. How I was going to respond to that was very critical in me fulfilling my destiny. You are coming face to face with truth, and how you respond will determine your destiny. As Pastor Bill was saying. Remember what he said? What you have said, you have. And so I got real smart. I became a genius. I agreed with God. I did. I agreed with him. That makes me really smart, because when you agree with God, Now you're on a path to healing. I felt like Pilate at that time. Pilate was standing before truth. He was standing before Jesus. And Pilate asked him, what is truth? The question is, who is truth? What is your truth? What is your belief system? You know, God is challenging our belief system right now. Are we going to sacrifice and be where the people of God is so that we can do what God has ordained for the people of God to do? Or are we still laden with those same tired excuses why we can't? My Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. It's a matter of the will. I make a decision to do the things of God. I'm there doing the things that God has said he would do. And something really neat happens. When he shows me what to do, it happens. It happens. He says in Isaiah 52:12, he says, you will not leave in a hurry, running for your lives. For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. God is saying to us that don't, fear is a real thing. Fear is a spirit. And I heard a story one time about fear came to a door and he knocked on this door and faith answered the door and found no one there. Yeah. Fear will always be at our door. But will you take your faith in Jesus Christ and open it and find that it's not there? I always like to say, when Satan starts messing with me, I want to go into the field and I look for people who I can witness to. Because if I'm going to take a hit, guess who else is going to get hit back? And too many of us have been taking hits, and now it's time for us to hit back. Amen? You shall not leave in a hurry or run for your lives in fear. But when you open the door and let your faith go, God is there leading you, and he is your rear guard. He's got your back. Amen? He's got your back, he's got my back. It's not a strange thing to understand what God is doing. You just got to pay attention. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning of my life, he is the end of my life. And everything that comes in between in there, he's got it. He's taking care of it. I just need to submit my will to walk through it, thereby fulfilling my destiny that God has said. Amen? What is the destiny that he has prescribed for Streams? He wants Streams to be the capstone of overseeing 40,000 people in Jesus' name. Of which each and every one of us here has a part of that. And every church in this town has to be a part of it. We are not in competition with fellow believers. We're in competition that comes against the knowledge, the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means soccer. That means baseball. That means any activity that comes in to keep us from worshiping God. And we do. And I was guilty of that too. Trying to get my kids involved in stuff. You have to discern. My kids were involved in stuff and there was events happening on Sundays. I just told the people, don't expect my kids to be there. Well, that's a great attitude to have. Well, my attitude is, I'm going to worship the one who created me. He's far more superior than you and far more important than you or me put together. And we didn't. We didn't compromise on that. And of course, the outcome was our kids weren't part of that system. It's okay. It was the decision that God doesn't want us to love the world. He wants us to change it. Part of the destiny of streams is to raise up elders. Part of streams is to send out some of these elders with a team to go and plant. We are about to begin that phase of the battle. We are. I'm believing those people are here, and I'm believing more of those people are coming. Can you believe that? I'm calling those things that are not as though they were. That's faith. And I'm not letting anything stand in the way of that. That's why it's so great to hear what God's doing with Rishima. The forgiveness is not a release from somebody else. It's therapeutic to our hearts. We carry weights that God has predestined that we're not to carry. Give it to Him. Cast it on Him. Get rid of it. It's not worth it. And because of it, she has an uplifted countenance. Every decision that we make affects our destiny. Every single one. Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, says the Lord. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." We sometimes think it's the end of the world. We sometimes think that God doesn't see. We sometimes believe that God is punishing us. But really, we are making decisions about our lives without considering His wisdom. And then when we find ourselves in difficult times, we want to blame Him. And He's standing there waiting to give us the answer. He is the answer to every situation. He was showing me today. Some of us have not pushed that stuff aside. We sing the songs, but our hearts are far from Him. Once we push that stuff away, He pours out the oil of gladness on us. When we stand in His presence, there is joy forevermore. Do you believe it? I do. I feel like more than that magnifying glass. I am so focused on what God wants to do that He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh because He tells me the wisdom of man is but folly compared to His wisdom. And He laughs at that. He says in Isaiah 58, "Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will heal quickly. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind." What is the glory of God? Does anyone really understand the glory of God? The glory of God is the ultimate Shekinah. It is a blinding light to those who dwell in darkness. But those of us that are in the light, we can see very clearly. The example that's given is out of Exodus 14. God says He fights for us. And in Exodus 14, Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they come to the Red Sea. And there's Moses. He puts his face down and he starts praying. And God's saying, "Moses, this is not the time to start praying. This is the time to move." See, we kind of get things messed up. We kind of forget that we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. We want to believe what we see. And this was the rebuke of Thomas when Jesus appeared. God's glory was before them. He was as a pillar of fire before them. And it says his glory moved behind them and fought with the Egyptians, causing their wheels to fall off the chariots that were in hot pursuit. I have learned in my time that if I do the things that God says, all the stuff that's pursuing me fades away. Those things that I had so much become afraid of, in comparison to God, they are nothing. And to watch God begin to solve these problems for us, and our willingness to submit our will to Him, God showed that He is my Savior. You know, this salvation isn't just to prepare us for heaven. This salvation is now. He saved us from something to do something now. Comes back to our destiny. What did He predestine you? What has He said to you that He wants to do through you to affect the world? He is our Savior. It doesn't matter. We just take a step out. What can you believe God for? I'm past God wanting to fill this room. I know He's going to. I'm past wondering if the finances are coming in. I know that He's going to bring the finances in. I know He's going to fill the sanctuary that we have there. I know this. I have to be patient to allow that to happen. And my job is to encourage you that where you are, just open your mouth. Just open it. Start declaring what God has said to you and watch it come to pass. He is a great Father, and He wants us to understand this. We should get Psalm 91 into our spirit. Let me read it to you. This is the NIV. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And I've been singing this song. We used to sing this song so much, and I'm singing it again. And it's like, how can you sing this? Come to my house. I'll show you. Verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In whom will I trust? Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." In other words, if we make Him our fortress, nothing. It is impossible for the enemy to come in against us. It's impossible. He may take our vehicles. He may take our jobs. He may take our substance. Let Him. We can't take it with us when we go to heaven. And that's the problem with us today. We think that all this stuff is going to win favor with God. The reality of it is, this stuff is what's keeping us from fulfilling the destiny in our lives. As I continue, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked if you make the Most High your dwelling." Big if. "Even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that they that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and a cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent, because he loves you. Because he who loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he will acknowledge my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. There are so many promises in that one scripture that we need to get that back into our spirits. God is for us, not against us. We focus on the minor stuff. God's got that covered. He's got it covered. That's what Matthew 6:33 is all about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. You don't have to earn it, work for it. He has an army, a legion of angels around us, protecting us. No harm shall befall us. What we were smart enough to do was dedicate our home to the Lord. I went through the house. I anointed the house. I prayed over the house. God began to start reveal to me the things that were simple and really had no consequence. He said, I want that out of your house. I want that out of your house. I want that out. I want that. I have no room to sit with your idols. And every year we go through this season. We call it spring cleaning, which I just recently did when Irene was away. Destroying the things that have been there, and they're not evil in and of themselves, but they're impeding my relationship with God. What is impeding your relationship to God? What is impeding you from being with the people of God, being trained? God has said to me that in time, we're going to have 30 mighty men that's able to use the word with both hands. The dexterity of these men to use the weapons in either hand. That's scriptural because David had 30 mighty men. And they were of the unsavory sort, so to speak. But they love God. And they love their leader, and they would do anything to fulfill the destiny of that leader, even lay down their lives. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame the adversary. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Word of their testimony. And they didn't even care about their lives, even unto death. You see, that's the end time Joshua people that God's raising up. Are you one of them? The benefits of God are endless. The armies of heaven are at our disposal to command once our obedience has been complete. You can't command something unless you're submitted to the authority that commands all things. Deuteronomy 32:10 says this. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, hollowing wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. God is saying that he took us from the desert, the wastelands. He made us his people, who were not a people. And he surrounds us. He's protecting us. He is a jealous God. And his love for his people is tremendous. Jesus said, teach these new disciples to obey all I command that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, I think about what the end's going to look like. And all of a sudden, my head explodes with the end time vision. God is preparing us to leave and forsake this world. If we even have a granular of want for something in this world, it may disqualify us. And we have to go through the tribulation. And that's our lives. Do we truly believe that God is going to protect our lives? You know, it comes to a place of understanding God's grace. What is grace? It's much more than a merit of favor. It's taking God's ability and power and authority and having it work on our behalf. That's what it is. We need to learn how to access that so it works in our behalf. And it starts with agreeing with God, which Pastor Mike was so eloquently sharing with us last week, that we got to say what God says. We got to believe what He says and live the way He says we should live. He has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to do that. Without the name and the claim and stuff, because that doesn't mean anything. It's your belief system. It's your belief system. What do you believe? That's what Jesus asked the disciples. Who do you think men say I am? And everybody's got an opinion. Everybody does. Jesus found me wandering in the desert 33 years ago. I was wanting. I was in need. I was a wreck. I had made decisions in my life that was not congruous to the Word of God. Didn't know it. Didn't know what God said. But this one thing I did learn. I'm going to do what God says to do. Even to my harm. And you know what? When I stepped out, there was some repercussions, but it didn't come from the Lord's side. It came from the religious. It came from the world. But true believers exhorted me, you can do this. Only when I began to have my mind renewed. You see, I live Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's not just a scripture verse. Therefore, brothers, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your unreasonable service. That's not what the word says? Well, what's it say? It is your reasonable service. He doesn't expect or command something unreasonable of us. And He will not ask you to do something He hasn't done first. How do we do this? By the renewing of your mind. Be ye not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is His okay will. If he gets around to it, will. If he thinks about it, he will. His good, perfect will for you. You see, as we grow, we get to learn what His good will is. We get to learn what His acceptable will is. But to walk in His perfect will is a motivation of our will to submit to that, no matter what. And Jesus did that perfectly. He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. How can a perfect man learn obedience and suffer in that? He suffered those things because he held on to his decision to do what God had said no matter what. Thank God for that, or else we'd still be in our dead in our trespasses and sin. You see, I believe God has my life secure. I believe that all I have, I don't think that being a good steward is worth something to hold on to. It's something that he has created into me so that I can pass on to the next generations if he should tarry. And in this world, it's getting harder and harder to pass on what you so worked hard for all your life. But God is able. God wants to. And I'm here to tell you, God has made provision for us. Not just for Streams, not just for me, for us, the body of Jesus Christ. We have a team that's going to Guatemala. We need to look to see what it is that we can do to help them, because they're representing not only Streams, they're representing our Father in Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians 4. It says, each person doing and meeting the needs. Each person doing and meeting the needs. I don't have this, Pastor. That's not the Word of God. You don't understand. You don't understand. The God that we serve is not poor. He's more than able to supply our needs through Christ Jesus. We have to declare that. We have to believe it. Yeah, he's raining his blessings down on us. If your desire is to fulfill your destiny in Jesus Christ, I ask you to pray this simple little prayer that I've had from the Holy Spirit. It says, Lord, I proclaim this prayer that you are El Shaddai, the Almighty God, that you are the all-powerful ruler of the universe and protector of it. And that includes me and my family. I declare to you that you are my rear guard. You are watching over every aspect of my life. Even more, I proclaim that you have encircled and surround me. In this regard, Lord, please forgive me if I unwittingly open myself up to the enemy's attack. If I have made myself vulnerable by anything I have said or done, I close that avenue now through the precious blood of Jesus. I adjust my confession from one of doubt and unbelief to one of complete confidence and faith in you as my protector. I place myself and all those whom I love and serve under the wings and in the shadow of the Most High. I also bring to you every situation in which I need you to fight for me as you did the children of Israel. Thank you for helping me in this battle. I proclaim here and now, you alone are my rear guard and protector. I trust in you because you have my back. In Jesus' name, amen. God wants to show himself strong. Romans says that this world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. We are those sons and daughters. We live differently. We have a different confession. We trust God implicitly. Everything that's going on in our lives up to this point is because we have seeded it by the words that we have spoken years ago. And today you have declared there's an end to that. I encourage you in the name of Jesus to get the word into you. It's not how much of the word you know, but how much of the word knows you. Amen. Father, cause your people to be blessed this week. I release them to your care. Protect them, supply them, give them everything that they would need to fulfill their destiny in Jesus. And until we meet again, Father, I ask again the blessings of heaven to be upon their people. May you continuously shine your face on them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.